A major announcement right now. So the whole month is White History Month from now on. Happy White History Month.
It's White History Month. I'm gonna celebrate with my friends. It's White History Month. So be sure to tell everyone that we'll always be different months to celebrate. This month's gonna be White History.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the show. Welcome. You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE, J-E-S-S-E, Jesse. My biblical question for this week, and it's a doozy. It is a doozy. Why are you dismayed by others? Ooh, I hope I said it right that time. I appreciate the correction on this word. Why are you, because I want English to be the primary language. So thank you all. Why are you dismayed by others? An amazing question. Why? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. James, come to the studio for a minute. I want to. jesseleepeterson.show. What am I hearing?
The computer.
That's what I'm hearing in my headset? Jesse Lee Peterson. So we have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on Jesse Lee Peterson. Thank you. .com/show. And if you're out and about, and you're just not able to sit and watch the show because you're running around doing what you're doing anywhere in the world, and you just don't have time to watch it, you want a podcast later, of course. But you could be listening to where you're working out, making breakfast, lunch, and dinner, laying up at a beach, smashing, grabbing, buying some fentanyl, overdosing on fentanyl, whatever you're doing, you could be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. All right. And to donate to have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or rebuildingtheman.com. rebuildingtheman.com. All right. Amazing. So I got it all together now. I was trying to get some other stuff done here. So I we are here Monday through Friday, right? From 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time. Heard around the world by everybody and their mama. And if you're black, everybody they mama. But if you're white, everybody and their mama. We're heard around the world, so I do appreciate it. And speaking of around where I've met over the years, met some very, very interesting people around the world. Around the world. And it's all the same. You may live in a different country, but you're living in the same hell. Isn't that amazing? The devil tells everyone the same thing all around the world. That's crazy. He speaks in every language. Satan does. And all his little demons. They speak the same language. What the? And it's, but it's Thursday. And for those who are new and might not be aware, we take all calls, but we do take the Bible Thumper calls first because the Bible Thumper is difficult to communicate with a Bible Thumper in that they don't really listen, they don't hear you at all. They just have all these scriptures in their minds intellectually. And they are just waiting to respond with another scripture. They're not hearing anything you're saying. They just want to praise the Lord and speak the word. It's all about the word. It's in the word. And so they don't listen. And I love the Bible Thumpers too. So we decided we'll have Bible Thumper Thursday. And we'll take all calls up. And so today is Thursday. And it is Bible Thumper. Don't say I don't have a black Jesus in my office. It is Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't feel your faith. Are you ready? Are you
ready? Hallelujah. Bible Thumper. What a mess. All in the name. All in the name. 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. J-E-S-S-E. You know, I want to just throw this out there because I hear it all the time. I hear so much that I've started to Though I understand, I started to realize that most human beings, not all, but most human, well, I already know this, but I realize even more, even so, even the Bible thumpers, the Christians, the non-Christians, the Catholic, the Muslim, the Allahu Abba people, the Jews, I've come to realize a few things. That mean religion that knock on your door, and then if you're a part of that religion, they'll throw you out and you can't talk to your family anymore. What's the name of that religion? They real mean.
Jehovah's Witness.
What I've realized, a couple of things. Number one is that they don't, by religious people, even maybe atheists, you may run upon some atheists that want out of their hell, but religious people don't want out of their hell. Not all, but most. They love the hell, and if you try to direct them out of the hell, they'll fight you on it. They love their beliefs, and they're stuck on it, even though it's not working for them and only bringing misery. They love their belief, and you can't, they'll argue with you and fight with you. If you say no, there's a way out. But they're stuck on their hell and their beliefs. It's crazy. They don't want out. It's crazy, too, but I didn't know. It's crazy. They do not want out. And anyone that try to point them the way out, as Christ did, they got to reject it because they have already believed into the lie. And so here are a couple of things I realized. I did an interview the other day after the JLP show, Jesse Peterson show, and I interviewed a Christian who is a Catholic. Well, I interviewed a couple of Christians. One is a Catholic and the other one is a regular Christian. And they both believed the same. There was no difference. They didn't know each other. They didn't even see each other. But they believed the same. And here are some of the things that they believe. And when you try to tell them, well, why do you believe, ask them, why do you believe this? And why do you believe that? Which one this and that? They don't want to hear. Number one, Christians believe in Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses and everybody. And Allahu Abba. They believe that they have a free will. They are like convinced that they have a free will. I hear it all over the place. So I'm like, well, okay, will yourself to never have a thought again, to stay out of your thoughts. And they'll come up with excuses why it's okay to be in thoughts, that they're thoughts, right? And then I say, okay, well, will yourself to have perfect peace. And they'll come up with excuses about that, not to have perfect peace. But yet they admit that they're miserable without peace. And then I will ask, well, do you believe that Christ came that you may have peace? Well, yeah, they heard that, but they don't really believe it. It didn't mean that, they say. They'll make up excuses why they cannot have perfect peace, though Christ said that I came that you might have it. And they'll erase that away in excuses of the mind. It's the darndest thing I ever seen. And another thing that they all, if not all, most believe, that Jesus is God. They believe that. And I'm like, well, why do you say that? They'll throw out a word called divinity or somebody. And then they would say things like, Christ man form, something dumb. And then they also believe that, I don't know, it's so crazy, I can't think of some more crazy stuff. I ask, which is easy to accept? You are a sinner, or all your sins have been washed away? And they all say, except for maybe one or two who have heard me say your sins have been washed away, they'll repeat that, but they don't really believe their sins have been washed away, right? But they all say that they're a sinner. And I said, but Christ said, all your sins have been wiped away. You've been bought and paid for. They cannot accept that. Even though they're like, yeah, I didn't read that. I didn't hear that. I didn't see that. But they absolutely don't even believe Christ when he said it. All your sins are wiped away. Another thing that Christians, it's no wonder America going to hell in a handbasket. The Christians are blind. Another thing they believe that, for whatever reason, they believe that the Ten Commandments are sins. Nowhere in the Bible where it says the Ten Commandments are sin. But there is in the Bible where it says the Ten Commandment, sin is of the heart. Salvation is of the heart. You must be born again of the heart. But for some reason, somebody told them, or maybe Satan, I don't know, but somebody told them that the Ten Commandments are the sin. And if you break the Ten Commandments, you're sinning. That's not even in the Bible. But they believe it. Do you see now how your belief is wrong? Do you see that right now? Is that helping a little bit? But the Christians and the Catholics got it so bad, they don't want to be free. And they're miserable in their lives. If they're married, husband and wives are fighting, children are out of control, the men are afraid of their wives, the wives hate the men for being weak, but yet they have all these beliefs, and they're not working, but they don't even see that their beliefs are not working. Will yourself to be free if you have a free will. That says that if you have a free will, if your mind, if you believe you have a free will, why can't you will yourself to be free? It's your will. Why not let your will be done? Why not will yourself out of your misery? Why not will yourself to never have a negative thought again? But just hold on to the fake good thoughts. You got to be relearned. Everything that you've been taught, everything has been wrong. And that's why you're suffering. That's why hell is on earth in you, because you're living in hell. You're living in your misery. Haiti is inside of you. Right here on earth. I want you to watch, and then we'll take some calls and super chats at 888-7753-773-888. 77 Jesse. So I want you to watch this soundbite. I want to hear what you think about it. I just saw a portion of it this morning. I was not aware of this at all until this morning. And it's interesting. Very, very interesting. And I'm told that these types of clips get a lot of numbers on and people fall for it. They love it. Because people love lies. They love their misery. And anything to help keep them in their misery, they're for it. They're totally for it. Keep me in my misery, I love you, they say. But show me the way out of the misery, uh-uh. They're not going to accept it. I don't give a darn if he does come home, Paul. I won't accept it. And happy White History, by the way. It is July, and July feels white. Happy White History. Watch this from YouTube. Here is a clip from YouTube suggesting signs that you're getting closer to God. Suggesting signs that you're getting closer to God. The first sign is guilt. Watch this.
Do you know the signs that you're getting closer to God? Number one, whenever you sin or even get the thought of sinning, it feels uncomfortable. You feel disgusted, or better yet, after you sin, you feel guilty and a deep conviction in your heart. This is a sign that God is working in you and that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. Having guilt after you sin isn't a bad thing. God doesn't convict us to shame us. He convicts us to lead to repentance so that we can grow closer to Him.
That, amongst many lies, that's one of the biggest lies I've ever heard. You ever heard, I ever heard, your mama ever heard, your mama, daddy, your daddy, your daddy, granddaddy, your dad, your mama, grandma, your daddy, grandma ever heard. That's not true. Guilt is not from God. Guilt is not drawing you closer to God, period. That is a big lie, but the people love the lies. That is not true. Zero. Can I play that one more time, Hussar? Because he named some other stuff and I missed it. Is it possible? Okay, let me hear it. This is from YouTube. Watch this.
Do you know the signs that you're getting closer to God? Number one, whenever you sin or even get the thought of sinning, it feels uncomfortable. You feel disgusted, or better yet, after you sin, you feel guilty and a deep conviction in your heart. This is a sign that God is working in you and that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you.
That's a lie.
Having guilt after you sin
isn't
a bad thing. God doesn't convict us to shame us. He convicts us to lead to repentance.
God does not convict
you, period.
So
that we can grow closer to Him.
God does not convict you, period. And a person with guilt is not drawing closer to God. They're drawing closer to hell. And they're setting themselves up by falling for the idea of guilt. You're setting yourself up to repeat it. That's all you're doing. That is not true, folks. God is not condemning you. God is not punishing you. God loves you. If God did not love you and set you free, you think your life is bad now? It would be worse. God does not punish you. And I'm told that those things get a lot of whatever, people listening, that they love them because people love their misery. People love to hear why it's okay to stay in hell. They love it. They don't want a way out. In all honesty, people are lazy. They don't really want to work on themselves. And they really don't want out of their misery. They don't want out of their hell. They say they do some, but they're lying. Because you can tell people, okay, you want out of your hell? Yes, I do. Praise the Lord. Go and forgive. Go and forgive mama. Go and forgive daddy, but especially mama. Oh, no, I can't do that. I hurt her feelings. Or I'm afraid to. Or no, if they do go, not all, but most, they sugarcoat it. They still tiptoe around mama. They don't want out of their hell. If you want out of your hell, you will fight for you. Another thing, too, you tell people, okay, you want out of your hell? Be still and let go. Stop fighting for yourself. Give up the fight. Don't fight with the misery, the devil inside of you, and don't fight with the devil inside of others. What do? They fight with the devil in themselves, and they go out and find others to fight with. Other devils inside of other people. You say, well, okay. Do the silent prayer and learn to stay present where God is, where all the answers are, where freedom is, so you can stay out of your imagination or the past or illusion of futures. They won't do that. But they pretend, they'll cry, and they'll pretend they want out. But they love the tears of crying about being out. Because if they want it out, they'll walk out and there will be no more tears. There will be no more misery. There will be no more anger. But people don't want to live freely. They reject Christ about all your sins have been forgiven. You are free. They don't want to believe that. They'd rather believe the evil spirits of delusions. Do we have another one of those clips, or that's just the only one we have? Oh, okay. Thank you. So it's a lie, folks. 888-7753-773. Bible Thumper Thursday. Jeremiah out of California. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Jesse. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I wanted to answer the Bible question.
Why are you dismayed by others?
Dismayed?
Yes.
What does that exactly mean, dismayed? Dismayed.
Why are you dismayed by others?
Dismayed. So, I don't know the exact question, but I do know that no one can affect you. And everything, like people, you may think that people are affecting you, but in reality, it's what's in you that's making you ineffective.
So Jeremiah, yeah. Out of California, why are you dismayed by others? Hold on a minute. Let me take a quick break, all right? Don't hang up.
Yes, sir.
Smoke on it while I'm taking a break. 888, and we're going to get to all your calls. 888-7753-773. Bible Thumper Thursday. Bible Thumper! Back in a moment. I have books that are amazing. highly recommend you get them. 7 Guaranteed Steps to Spiritual, Family, and Financial Success Guide. Even if you're not starting a business, but you have a job, or you're on welfare, it can help you if you do. Be doers of the word, all right? From rage to responsibility. From rage. That's what I write about in the first chapter, especially how I overcame. Scam. How the black leadership exploits black Americans. They are using them. The blacks are too willing to be used. And then my last book, The Antidote, Healing America from the Poison of Hate, Blame, and Victimhood. They are all amazing books, and they are helpful. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com if you want an autographed copy, or call 800-411-2663. Bible Thumper! Bible Thumper Thursday. What the? Bible Thumper Thursday, 888, and there is one line open at 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. Happy White History Month. You still can order your shirts. White History Month shirts. July is White History Month, 7 years of celebrating it. JulyFeelsWhite.com, JulyFeelsWhite.com, or RebuildingTheMan.com, RebuildingTheMan.com/store to order your amazing shirts. I got a couple new ones on the order coming in. Amazing. Also, don't forget to check out Punching TV. Punching.tv. And you can go to Punching.tv and watch the network on our platform. Don't forget to subscribe, follow Punching TV, all right? On YouTube and Instagram.
Amazing.
My brand new network. We're working on it one day at a time. Hassan, why are you dismayed by others?
I'm not really dismayed by others.
You can take punch at you.
I know. Sorry.
Well, duh. You black.
I get overwhelmed. I get nervous.
You get
nervous. I get dismayed.
Dismayed, duh. Okay, and so why are you dismayed by others?
I don't think I get dismayed too much.
And why not?
I think I stay pretty cool and collected.
You said too much? You get dismayed a little?
No, I don't really at all.
You don't really at all what?
Get dismayed.
What is dismayed?
Like rattled.
Rattled.
Or you know, get up in a fuss.
Okay. So you don't get dismayed ever, right?
Well.
Let me see your shirt. It's Bible Thumper Thursday. I didn't wear mine today because I had to wear the White History shirt. I'm doing an interview today about white history.
Nice.
On another network.
Woo!
Nice.
The classic.
Isn't that something? Bible Thumper Thursday.
Bible Thumper Thursday. School uniform style.
That's right. Okay, well, thanks for responding to the biblical question.
Back when I used to go to Christian private school, we always wore these like white-collared uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I was trying to incorporate.
I know. I like that, too. No, I totally like that.
Dismayed.
Jeremiah from California, thanks for holding. And you wanted to respond to the biblical question, why are you dismayed by others?
Actually, this happened to me before, now that I know what you guys are talking about. But I realized that when I was, like you said, rattled or shaken by someone, it was because I wasn't present in that moment.
But that's not what it means.
It's not?
I mean, you just grabbed someone else's definition. You ran with it.
I'm not sure if that's not what it means. I'm not sure what it does mean.
Because you said earlier you didn't know what you asked me what it meant, but I just went back to the question. And it could mean that. But I'm just the point is you just grabbed someone else's definition and ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know what it means, right?
I did look it up, but... And I don't, you
when
know.
When you looked it up, what did you find?
Constricted or anxiety.
Oh, like. Okay. So let's go. Why are you, Jeremiah, dismayed by others?
I'm dismayed by others because I listen to the thoughts during that time, and they give me a feeling. If I was just to face the thoughts, then I would never feel like that ever again.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I appreciate that, Jeremiah, putting your two cents in. I want to respond, but I got to wait until Sunday. I want to hear from other people. But thank you for responding to the biblical question.
Yeah. Happy White History Month, Jesse.
Happy White History, Jeremiah. 7 years. Do you tell others out there Happy White History Month?
I haven't yet, no. But
well, don't say it at work. You don't want to get fired.
No, I won't get fired.
Oh,
yeah. But yeah, I gotta tell them about that. You know, I gotta spread it around.
We gotta spread.
Well, I don't know if I should, but
just not at work.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Well.
I also wanted to talk about thoughts.
Okay.
And I wanted to say that, I wanted to ask.
Ask!
Is it true that if I wanted to overcome something, all I have to do is just pay attention to the thoughts while I'm going through it?
Yes. I mean... Without going real personal, give me an example of what you mean.
Let's say I want to overcome something like a vice.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm like, oh, I really want to overcome this, but I can't. And then I realize when I'm going through the vice, I'm not paying attention. And then I was like, okay, let me pay attention to myself. But once I started paying attention, it's like the vice loses its good feeling. Like, you know, how you start to stop, you're lost in your thoughts and kind of like weed or something. You know, like you become less conscious of what's going on.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if I started paying attention, would I just overcome it?
Absolutely. If you stay present, conscious, instead of being lost in your head, or your imagination, your thoughts, there's nothing on earth that you cannot overcome, no matter what it is. But you got to stay conscious.
And if I didn't say conscious, it's because I don't want to overcome.
Yes. And most people do not want to overcome their vices. They have identified with them. They love, hate them, and they do not want to overcome, because if they wanted to overcome, they would stay conscious. They would stay present where the truth is, where love is, where God is, where the kingdom of heaven is, where life itself dwells. And it dwells in the present. It does not dwell in the past or the future, which does not exist, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
Amazing.
Yeah, I also want to say, I heard something by chance when I was listening to your show, that Sean, he's went into HVAC. This is the air, like an air conditioner technician.
Uh-huh.
I'm also an HVAC tech. I've been up like about for 5 months now.
Right on. It's some good.
Yeah.
I don't know if Sean, I don't know. I think Sean was already doing that. I mean, even before he came to California, he was very active doing things. He might be new to him, but I know that it's a good trade. I know a lot of people who are doing it now. And it's definitely a good trade to have. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Thank you, Jeremiah. And again, man, thanks for responding to the biblical question, all right?
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Nice talking to you.
You too. 888-775-3773. There's a line open. Melvin, a first-time caller out of Idaho. Not Navajo, but Idaho. Melvin, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Melvin?
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Melvin.
Hello, Jesse. Hey, it's an honor to speak to you, sir.
Thank you.
You're amazing.
Amazing.
So my question to you is, I've had a pretty rough upbringing in my childhood. And at the age of 18, I sort of broke myself free from that. And I've went to work really hard and made a good life for myself. I have a younger brother that's 10 years younger than me, different generation. And so he's had some troubles with drugs in his life. I spent some time in prison. And I think the result of his result of how he was brought up, I think I've realized later in my life, in my 30s, that, you know, we had an absence of a strong father figure in our life.
Yeah.
Our mother was a sort of the front runner and the leader in the house. You know, my dad lost his dad at a very young age. So I think I forgave him for everything as well as my mother. And so my father not being there for us, I realized that, you know, we needed him there. And my brother really relies on me as a father figure at this point. And he looks up to me, but I'm trying to figure out how healthy it is for my brother to see me almost as a father figure, and what your thoughts are on
that. How old is he?
He's 32, and I'm 10 years older than him.
He should not be seeing you as a father figure at all. You're not his father.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I feel the same way. I just, you know, I just don't know. He relies on me a lot of things to mentor him through life and to help him through life. And I just feel like that he's past his age to be doing that. And so I just wanted to get your advice. Maybe give me advice.
Like what, for an example, he's relying on you?
He's relying on me to sort of, kind of advise him on, you know, on relationships, advise him on, you know, money, how to sort of develop himself financially. But he's been really falling short in both departments. And so he's, in the result of that, you know, he's had some bad relationship and did some time chasing women and doing some drugs. And he's getting ready to get out of prison now, and I just I'm trying to figure out how I can sort of guide him or at least help him kind of transition into his own manhood. And I mean, he's matured over the years. I've seen that in him, and so I was just wanted to kind of give you my situation, and maybe you can give me some advice. And
the best thing that you can do for him is to do what you're doing for yourself. you encourage him to work on himself. He got to forgive his mother. He got to forgive his father. He got to drop that anger. Otherwise, he would call you daddy or as you his father, and he will rip you off. You'll find yourself taking care of him. And it's not like he really think that you're his father, but he will right. use that as a reason to get money and everything from you. You'll find yourself that's stuck with
accurate.
Him. I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's very accurate.
So he
that's,
did, yeah.
that's the way that things are going, yes.
That's the way things are going?
Yeah, he seems like he's relying on me financially in some
yeah.
sense. They expect me to sort of pay his way through life.
That's why he's pretending that you're his daddy. It's because he want to use you. He doesn't want to be free. I would recommend you not give him a dime. I would recommend that you not let him live with you. But I would recommend that you point him to what you said you're doing for yourself. You're working on you. You want to forgive your mother, right?
Yes.
You forgave your father. You're working on you. And that's the only thing that's going to help your brother as he got to overcome his hell. Giving him material things is not going to help him at all. You're just going to keep him in his hell. And he's going to resent you for it because he will be taking advantage of you. He will see you as weak, and you will be weak.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Are you doing the silent prayer every morning and night?
I recently started listening to you, and I've been catching up on your principles. And so I've looked up to a few things that you said, and so I'm still catching up, sir.
Oh, okay. And do you know about the silent prayer?
Not in detail, no.
I want you to go, encourage you to go to rebuildingtheman.com/prayer. And now that you started to work on yourself, you need to, the light of the Father, God, will bring you out of the dark evil of your thoughts, your imagination. And he will give you a clear mind, and things will get better and better and better. It's going to be amazing for you. So start doing the silent prayer. If you have any questions about it, call me back. But you should start doing that.
Okay.
And
there's definitely a presence of devil, sir.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. He's in the mind and emotions. What'd your mother say, Melvin, when you went and forgave her?
She didn't take it well. She was acting as if she didn't do anything for me to have to forgive her, even though I explained myself in detail.
Yeah, but
and I still told her I loved her. I had a lot of resentment towards her, a lot of resentment towards my father. I finally cleared that up and set myself free from those negative thoughts because it was holding me back in life.
Yeah, absolutely. And why did you tell her that you love her?
Because it was my way of expressing to her that I have no anger towards her, in a sense.
That's not a way of expressing that. The way of expressing that you have no anger is by forgiving her. When you forgave her, that's what love is. When you told her, hey, I'm sorry for resenting you, I realize now you couldn't help yourself. And when you did that, God forgave you. Forgiveness, by realizing that you're wrong, isn't an expression of love. To say you love her, nothing is wrong with not saying anything, but if you said it to make her feel better about forgiving her because she couldn't handle you forgiving her, then that was not love.
I understand. Makes sense.
Are you married?
I am. I'm married 20 years with 2 kids.
And does your wife obey you?
I have not been perfect myself, but I think that she grew up Christian in a Christian family. And I think that if I live my life by a word of God, she comes closer to me more than ever.
Does your wife obey you?
Not all the time.
Does your wife obey you?
If I do the right thing, I feel like she does. She does obey me, and she's by my side.
the right thing according to who?
I think according to the Bible.
You said she's a Christian?
She is, yeah.
So if she's a Christian, she should be obeying you, period, not according to what she thinks is right or wrong, not according to anything. She would naturally obey you if she's a daughter of God. And it wouldn't be based on her quoting the Bible to you or what she thinks is right at all. But here's what I want you to do. Don't worry about that for now. You continue to work on you. Do the silent prayer and work on you. And I'm telling you, if you commit to that, working on you, staying present, everything's going to fall in place for you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, Melvin, let me know what you think about the prayer if you give it a try.
Sounds good, sir.
All right, buddy.
Have an amazing week. Thank you.
You too. You're welcome. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Andres out of North Carolina. Andres, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Jason, what's up, man?
All is well. How are you?
I'm handling business, man. Making it happen one day at a time.
Happy White History Month.
Happy White History Month. What you doing for White History Month besides on your personal time, besides, you know, making it known on your radio show and stuff? What else you doing?
I'm telling people about it, eat white food.
What's white food?
Salads and
Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
All this stuff. Mayonnaise, not just playing. But no, I'm actually reading a book. Two books actually.
Whoa. Well,
Dwight Eisenhower and General George Patton.
Nice.
Some great American heroes, man. I like George Patton because George Patton was a straightforward type general, kind of brute, kind of brash a little bit. And you got Dwight Eisenhower. He was more diplomatic, political, and things like that. So it's pros and cons of both, but I actually enjoyed the history of both of them. So yep. that's what I'm doing, man. I actually like the fact that you sparked up this White History Month thing. I actually like that.
Well, I appreciate your contribution to White History Month. That's amazing. Thank you.
Now I ain't eating no white food. Now I'm still eating my chicken and stuff like that.
Joel Fry just say cream of wheat and oatmeal is white food.
Well, I fed my little boy some oatmeal this morning, so he's celebrating too.
See there? Do you eat grits?
Oh yeah, for sure. I eat grits with some fried fish. And mustard, oh, absolutely.
I'm going to go today and have some grits. I haven't had it in a long time.
Get some fried catfish with it.
I can taste it now.
That's fine. But no, I was calling to thank you, number one.
Are you able to hold for me? Let me take a quick break.
Yeah.
All right, hold on.
Yes, I am.
All right. 888-775-3773. A quick break. Two more hours to go. Hake is coming in with hate news. Not the fake news, but the hate news, and I'll be back in a moment. Bob a Thumper! Bob a Thumper Thursday. I recommend you get a copy of my book, From Rage to Responsibility. I write about how the spirit of anger was taken away from me 29 years ago. I forgave my mother who tried to turn me away from my father, and I returned to my father, and through him, my father on earth, and through him, I was able to return to God. No man or woman can return to God unless you go through the Son. And men are sons of God. They may be weak, pathetic examples of it, but it's the spiritual order of life. God in Christ, Christ in man over woman, woman over children. So get From Race to Responsibility. I write about that. Go to my website, rebuildingtheman.com, for an autographed copy, or call 800-411-BOND. And donate to my nonprofit, Bond, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. We are rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It's Bible Thumper Thursday, guys. July 11th, 2024 AD. Can you believe it? Stay tuned for hour two. JLP will be right back. There is one line open, and hang tight, callers. JLP will be right back to you. But first, fake news, not fake news. Whole lot of mess. Costco is raising membership fees for the first time since 2017, according to Comedy Nonsense Network CNN. The hikes go into effect on September 1st, part of a larger effort to crack down on membership moochers, and boost revenue for the warehouse chain. And Biden's health, pray for sleepy, crooked, lying, evil Joe Biden. He will face a major test today, if he hasn't already, when he holds an unscripted news conference at the NATO summit in Washington, D.C. It comes after his poor, dismal debate performance left an indelible impression on many voters who are seriously questioning the president's mental fitness or for another term. Not to mention this term. What a mess. Some Democrat donors also holding back big checks as the party continues to wrestle with the path forward. On Wednesday, actor George Clooney, I may read about Trump's Truth Social post about George Clooney on my show, thehakereport.com, later today. But he had been among Biden's biggest supporters. He's a big Obama guy, cringeworthy. And other donors in Hollywood took a step of publicly calling for Biden to bow out of the race. Quote, "We are not going to win in November with this president," Clooney wrote in the failing New York Slimes, the New York Slimes opinion piece, adding that some lawmakers he has spoken with privately share this view. George Clooney said that the country deserves to hear from other politicians who could potentially replace evil Joe Biden at the top of the dung pile, also known as the ticket. And power outages in Texas. What a mess. More than 1.3 million homes and businesses, including some of yours. Shout out, people. Across the southeast, Texas still without power after Hurricane Beryl / whatever it is, you know, storm, tropical storm, depression, whatever it is, slammed into the Gulf Coast as a Category 1 hurricane Monday. Countless families have lost food in their warming fridges because their fridges are not cold anymore because the power's out. Well, many stores are still closed, leaving local authorities scrambling to distribute food to quote-unquote underserved areas. It's a communist buzzword, by the way. Heat-related medical emergencies also spiking in Houston. 90-degree temperatures blanket parts of the state. And it's not like a dry heat. It is a humid heat, so it feels even worse, more oppressive. It's terrible. City Fire Chief Samuel Pena said that there's medical emergencies spiking. Senior care facilities and residents rely on electric medical devices, particularly at risk, as power outages stretch through at least the end of the week. So what a mess. Also a mess, Gaza. The Israeli military expanded their evacuation order for the whole of Gaza City after sending tens of thousands of so-called Palestinians fleeing from several of the city's neighborhoods earlier this week. Israel's latest directive threatens to intensify the plight of already displaced communities after more than 250,000, that's a quarter million, residents were urged to head to safe zones further south since Sunday, so said a UN office. Meanwhile, the evil Joe Biden administration is allowing a shipment of 500-pound bombs to be sent to Israel. They paused it more than 2 months ago, and now they're shipping it. The initial decision to halt a shipment of both 2,000-pound and 500-pound bombs was due to U.S. concerns about Israel using the heavy munitions, specifically the larger one-ton bombs, right? 2,000 pounds, one ton, I think. In their Rafah operation, one shipment of the 2,000-pound bombs remains on hold. I'm James Haig. Now back to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, Hour 2.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the second hour of the show today. You can get involved. There is a line open at 888-777-5773-888-77-JESSE if you want to jump in there. My biblical question for this week, and it's a doozy. Why are you dismayed by others? Why are you dismayed by others? Amazing question. You can listen to the show if you're out and about and busy, and you normally would podcast later. You can do that as well, but you could be listening while you're doing whatever it is that you're doing, because we're heard around the world by everybody and their mama by calling the listen line on your cell phone or iPad at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, and we're going to get to your super chats too. To donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. A Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. All right. It's Thursday. It is already the second hour of the show on Thursday, and Thursdays are always Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't feel your face. Are you ready? Are you
ready? Bible Thumper. I'm surprised he wiped you back like that. I've normally seen a blast doing that. But what the? You becoming like what you hate. 888-7753-773. Let me go back to Andres. I had to put him on hold there for a minute because we ran out of time. Andres out of North Carolina, thanks for holding you back on the air.
Yeah. I was just calling. I called you a couple months ago. I was telling you about this little situation that I was in. I was contemplating, key word, marriage. But it was a brief contemplation. But you said you asked a couple questions, you got a couple some background, and you was like, no, which I knew.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah. I was dismayed because. I only saw what I wanted to see.
Yes.
In this particular female, she appeared to be great with my son, and my other children. She appeared to be, this submissive, righteous, moral driven type woman. But, I always knew just from the sheer fact of how we ended up messing with each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I was dismayed, but I stood in what I knew. Although I was going back and forth with it, I stood on what I knew. And I broke that thing off probably about 2 weeks ago. You know, I moved out the crib responsibly, and it wasn't a get out. You know, I sat down and made her understand, like, hey, look, this ain't what we need to do. You know, this ain't good for you, and it ain't good for me. And you knew it, and I knew it, in a nutshell. And as much as she wanted to be dismayed, she couldn't be. She couldn't be, because it was all truth. She knew it was true. And we got a good friendship. She got her own spot. She's working on her own self. And I'm doing the same.
Right on, man.
So great stuff, man. Like I said, in the time I be wanting to go against what you say, I be wanting you to be wrong, because I be wanting, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Every time, man, every time you your wisdom and what you've been through always prove to be true, and what I what I'm looking for, and so to speak. So, you know, again, just calling to say thank you, man. You helped me out from 2017, from forgiving my mama all the way up to now, making me a better father, making me deal with the circumstances that I put myself in a much better and much more responsible way.
Right on.
So, you know, I'm just calling to say thank you, man.
You're welcome. And Andres, stay with it. Stay with working on you. Really, just stay with the silent prayer. Watch those thoughts. And you haven't seen anything yet, man. You got to see, if you stay with it, the real you will appear after the illusion disappear. And it's going to be amazing. I can't find the right words, but it's going to be amazing.
I believe that. I really, really believe that. Secondly, I guess I already answered the biblical question with that, because I just want to see what I want to see in other people. That's why I'm dismayed. But my question for you, real quick, with all the great things, you know, you've done as far as, like, helping people, changing lives, and possibly changing some generations, you know, just based off what you're doing, can this, in a sense, be kind of like gratification to or had a tendency to try to gratify your ego in a way that you got to keep control of? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what I totally understand the question, but I can honestly tell you all the things that is working through me is not me. I'm sure. Learning as I go. I'm being taught as I'm teaching. And I take no credit at all for it. There's nothing in me that want to take credit, but because I know I have nothing. I'm blown away myself, so I know I have nothing to do with it at all. So there's not even a temptation to take credit for it at all.
That's fair.
Isn't that amazing?
That's fair, man. That is. And I ask because you know, I got some pretty decent rank. In the military right now, and you know, just young soldiers, young boys in the neighborhood. You know, they, you know, I can tell that they kind of looked up to me in a sense.
Yeah.
And I just ask because I can see myself being somewhat of an influence as well with the direction that I'm going. So, man, I really appreciate you, man. That was just a random question that I had.
Right on. Well, you stay with it, and it's good to hear from you, man.
For sure. All right, man. Thank you.
All right. Amazing. Andres from North Carolina. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Jane out of Florida. Jane, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hello, Jesse Lee. How are you doing today?
All is well, Jane. Thanks for calling.
Wonderful. So I had had a counseling with you a few weeks ago and called in and a little bit after that.
Okay.
And, I didn't really have many questions for you. And as the time's going by, I've been thinking, I was like, you know, I've come up with a few questions. And then it's like, as soon as I'm like, oh, I should ask Jesse, then the answer is revealed to me.
Yes.
So I'm like, well.
Amazing.
But one thing is, specifically a, well, not biblical question, but question based on the Bible.
Bible Thumper Thursday.
Yes, sir. So I was wondering about why, what your rooting is basically on the idea that you don't think that Jesus is God, because when you say that, what comes to mind for me is a few verses. For one, let me read it out. So in John chapter 8, verse 57 and 58, so the Jews are talking to Jesus and, you know, asking him, you know, pressing him on these questions and trying to catch him in a lie and all that stuff. So the Jews said to him, "Are you not yet 50 years old and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And that's, of course, like he's using the term like Yahweh there, right? To say that he is like to kind of like put himself right as God introduced himself to Moses. Is that, that's what I interpret it as. And then I also think about in Genesis.
Well, start with that first verse first and then hold on to the second. Why did you read all that into it?
Just because, like, I mean, that's just the same way that God introduces himself to Moses in the burning bush. But so that's what makes me think is, and then that also was like, then they went to throw stones at him, and that was like, that was the consequence of people back in that time claiming to be God or claiming to be the Messiah.
But because Jesus never said he was God, why would you read, why would you trust the imagination and read something else into it? Because if Jesus had wanted you to know that he was God, if he was God, don't you think he would have made that clear?
Oh, okay. Well,
because
I was thinking
you're doing
that...
what the Pharisees did. You're in your imagination about Jesus' words, and you're doing exactly what all human beings do. Is they live in their imagination and they believe that their intellect is of God.
I see. So it's like, just take it, like, not adding anything about, like, or inferring anything based on what was said, except for what. So then what do you think that he meant by before Abraham was, I am? What do you think that means?
I don't know at this point what he meant, but I do know what he didn't mean. He was not calling himself God.
Okay.
And then there was a second verse you're about to read.
Yeah, back in Genesis, when God was creating the humans, he refers to himself in, like, the plural. He says, let me pull that real quick. He says, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." So it's been, because, like, I know a lot of Christians say that there's a triune God, and he is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and then Holy Spirit. So, then... I was just wondering about, like, so if you don't think Jesus is God, then how would that mean that, like, why would God refer to himself in the plural, you know, because of, like, a lot, like I said, a lot of Christians see that as, you know, that's the evidence of the triune God there.
You said Jesus referred to himself in the, as plural?
Yeah, God did when he was creating man.
Meaning that there are more than one?
That's like, that's Christians point to that verse sometimes.
Why don't you doubt your intellect and let the teacher, you have a teacher within. Why don't you let the teacher teach you all things instead of trying to figure it out in your intellect, and especially based on what the Christians are telling you, because they're never right about anything.
So it's like I'm trying to lean on my own understanding.
100%. And, like, and you're trying to lean on to what the Christian said.
And for whatever reason, it hasn't yet been revealed to me, and I just got to be patient about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Hake is telling me that the expert says that. Tell us what you're saying.
The experts say that they used plural for God, or Moses used plural for God. to make it seem like it was greater than just using a me or a single person. It just that was just a form that they used to make him seem greater than any one individual person.
They used that. They made it up.
It was just like a literary.
The experts say that that's
choice, kind of.
I think the experts may have been speculating, but that's what I've that's what I read in the footnotes in my Bible when I read about that.
Okay.
As I recall.
I would highly recommend, Jane, that you drop the intellect. Just use it as the intellect, but let when you get the knowledge, when you hear the knowledge, let the knowledge go, and then you do have a teacher within, and he will show you all things. And when he shows you, you have no doubt about it.
Okay.
But you're never going to know the truth by the intellect. You're never going to know it.
Right. Because I was also wondering about, I had asked you before, like, how do you know that something is revealed to you? And what you said was the same way that it's revealed to, you said the same way it's revealed to you, like the same way it's revealed to me. And so I was just kind of wondering, I just wanted to be clear, because when I think that, like, something is revealed to me, it's just kind of like all of a sudden it's just like I know it to be true. Like, is that kind of like what you experience as well?
Repeat that.
Like, when something is revealed to me, it's just like all of a sudden, boom, I just know that it is true. It just kind of like drops into my head, I guess. Is that how things are revealed to you also?
Not in the head. Nothing is revealed to you in the head.
Okay.
Well, the truth is not revealed to you in the head. Satan revealed all things to you in the imagination because Satan is pretending to be God. So everything God does, he is giving you a phony idea about it. It's not real. So anything into intellect, in the mind, in the imagination, any delusion about you are never real.
Okay.
Well, are you doing the silent prayer?
Yes, sir, I am.
Every morning, every night?
Yeah. I do it multiple times a day whenever I'm nursing my baby.
And are you doing it in the morning, at night, before you as soon as you wake up, and last thing before bed?
I do it as often as possible, but it's like I should be more strict about it.
Are you doing it every morning and every night?
Yeah.
Are you doing it every morning, every night before bed?
I guess not. Like, it's not like right as I wake up and right before I fall asleep.
Are you doing it every the first thing in the morning?
No, I guess not.
So you just wait until you give the baby some milk?
Yeah, but it's generally one of the first things I'm doing.
Do what you want, but I recommend when you first wake up, you kind of look around yourself so you can wake up. And then take a few moments before the baby wake up and just relax and watch those thoughts go and come and go so that during the day you don't get so caught up in your mind.
Okay, I'll try that out. And then now it's the same thing before bed, before falling asleep.
Right, and when I say before falling asleep, you don't have to wait until you're like about to doze off, right? Let's say you know your body, you're going to bed, your body shut down around 8 or 9, and you're going to be going to bed. You can do it around 8 a.m. You don't have to wait until 9 o'clock and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Got it. Yeah, I'll try that out.
I mean, you can do it at 8 p.m. You don't have to wait until 9, and then now you're falling asleep while you're trying to do it.
I got what you meant.
All right. Amazing, Jane. Good to hear from you.
Likewise. Thank you for answering my question.
Absolutely.
Bye now.
Bye. 888-775-3773. Julie is out of Connecticut. Julie, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to hear from you about praying in tongues and what that's really about. This is a Bible thumper question. I know that in the Bible it says that Jesus left and then his Holy Spirit came. And then the disciples in the room were all speaking in a different language. And now the Christian churches that I've been to, I mean, we were praying in tongues for hours.
Oh, sorry.
And now I feel like, because I'm watching your show, getting to know what you're saying and understanding things in the truth, I don't know if I was ever doing anything when I was doing that.
So you did the praying in tongue thing?
Well, I went to an all-African church. I called you last week.
Oh, you white?
I'm white.
What are you doing up in an African church?
I'm questioning that now. I don't know. I liked all the dancing and the tambourine.
Oh, you were there for the party of it.
I like to party, yeah.
Nice.
I know. So I was on the prayer team, and we would get together, and we would literally pray in tongues for sometimes an hour straight, sometimes more.
Wow.
So I don't know. Like, I know it says in the Bible, the language was, you know, the Holy Spirit came and they prayed in this language. That's where they're getting it from. But I just wanted to hear from you, what is it really we're doing when we're praying in tongues?
When you're praying in tongues the way they have taught you, you're praying to the devil. You're worshiping Satan.
Oh. Okay. All right, that's it.
Did you have another question about it?
Well, so where did it come? The language came from the devil, you're saying?
Yes, yeah, straight out of hell.
No kidding.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. All right.
You want me to tell you what real prayer in tongue is?
What does it really mean? Yeah, please.
You know how I tell you go and forgive your mother and your father and God will forgive you and you can enter into the kingdom of heaven?
Right.
That makes sense to you, but it doesn't make sense to the people who's praying in tongue.
Okay.
When I tell you to stay present with God, stay in the presence instead of living in an illusion of past and now, I mean the past and the future, that's praying in tongues to be present. But not to the folks who are praying in tongues carrying on. That doesn't make sense to them that they should be present with God. They'll say it, but they don't know what they're saying.
Right, because they also teach, and I don't think this is in the Bible anywhere, they teach that when you're praying in tongues, it's a language that the devil doesn't know. It's your secret prayer language to God, and it's God language that he gave you just to speak to him. And when you're saying it, Satan doesn't know what you're saying.
Well, when you're present with God, the devil is nowhere to be found. He's not involved at all.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I get it. Okay, I get what you're saying.
Are you doing the silent prayer every morning, every night?
Yeah, yes, I've been doing it every morning and every night for 3 weeks, and it's been hell on earth.
Meaning what?
I've had more panic attacks. I started realizing today, I think the problem is I'm judging my thoughts. So I'm panicking the whole time I'm doing it because I'm so aggravated that the thoughts are coming and I can't stay present. And I'm like fighting with myself.
Why don't you give up the fight? You're probably with your whole life. You've been fighting all your life and all is joined and keeping you, digging you deeper into hell.
It is.
Why not give up the fight? Why not just sit and watch? Why don't you practice being a great watcher rather than decision-making and judging and carrying on? Why don't you just watch?
Okay, I don't know what that means. I mean, I've never done that before in my whole life.
Done what before?
Not tried to take control of everything.
I know, but look what it has done for you.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just finally... just watch those thoughts. Don't call them you. Don't try to control them. Don't do anything but watch them. Why not just do it, Julie?
Okay.
No, that was a question.
Okay. I think I'm impatient.
And who is the person that's impatient?
I think the devil that I've allowed inside my body is impatient.
So why do you call it you? Why do you say I'm impatient?
That's right.
No, that's that was a question.
Okay. I'm identifying with evil.
And why are you doing that?
I just realized that just a second. I didn't realize it.
Nice.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And how are things going? I know you told me, I believe you're the one that told me you're the head of your husband at one time.
I still am. Yeah.
You still? Why don't you let go of that?
You're meeting with my husband tonight.
Oh, I am? Counseling? Yeah,
for counseling. I think it's just going to be you and him, but if you want me to come in, I can come in. We have 3 kids. We have 6-year-old twins and we have an 11-year-old, and the 11-year-old is not his. And there's just been a lot, because there's been a lot of problems with me and my husband not being in alignment with God, there's been a lot of problems with the kids. And he seeks me to tell him what to do with the kids because he doesn't know what to do. In that regard, I feel like I'm instructing him how to deal with the kids. So that's why I say it's still upside down in our marriage, where I'm ahead of him because I'm instructing him.
And why do you do it?
In the moment, so my daughter had a freak out yesterday, which has been happening a lot, and my husband doesn't know what to do. So I intervene because I see that my child is, in my mind, is suffering, and she's screaming and she's having these awful temper tantrums that are blood curdling. So I'm trying to help her. So that's why I step in.
Well, why not tell your husband, no, I'm not doing that. That's your daughter. You're the father. You deal with it. You don't have to get involved.
I don't. Okay.
Why not just say no and then make him, that would make him have to deal with it.
Right, and then I think this is where it comes to be my problem, where I see he's, in my mind, he's not doing it right, and he's making things worse.
But you're making it worse by jumping into it. And your daughter already hates you. That's why she's having temper tantrum. She hates her mother. She's acting like you.
Yeah, I know.
And so here you are. You've created your daughter in your image, and now you're coming back like you're trying to save her. You're doing what the devil is doing with you. The devil has created you in his image, and now he's coming back pretending he's trying to save you, where he's really only keeping you in the hell you're in.
Okay.
Okay, what?
All right, I'm thinking about what you're saying. So I just let him take over. I don't say anything.
It's not going to work. Would you keep running it? It's only going to get worse.
Because the kids are seeing me as being in control, and that's going to keep everything going.
No, because the kids hate you. They don't want you in control. They want their father.
Yeah. Right. So even if he's... Well, so this is my problem with him.
Hold on. Let me take a quick break. I'll come right back to you. Quick break. Back to the phones and your super chats. Back in a moment. Baba Thumper Thursday. we have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Okay, folks, welcome back. 888-775-3773. Quick comment. Quick announcement. The Hake Report, H-A-K-E Report, is coming up at 9 a.m. You do not want to miss the Hake Report. He's one white man that's not afraid, and he doesn't care what color you. He doesn't care what color you is. It doesn't matter what color you are. He is not afraid. The Hake, H-A-K-E Report. The guy with the good hair at 9 a.m. from 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific time. And after that, Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific time. On fire. And are casting for nothing. Joel Friday TV. He black, men in relationships, all in the name, is in the blood. And after that, American Anchor Baby is doing a special today. The American Anchor Baby is normally at 12 p.m. Pacific time, Monday through Thursday. But today, he's doing a special. And that requires him coming on at 4 p.m. today. Normally, he's 4 p.m. on Friday, so he'll probably do that again tomorrow. But today at 4 p.m. and not 12, but at 4 p.m., the American Anchor Baby. A special announcement so that everybody know, and you don't want to miss the special today. The American Anchor Baby, energy given to him by God. It's not even on loan. It was given to him. And he is a genius. Believe me, I'm not making this up. When his mama dropped him on the other side of the border, he fell. Right into America. At 4 p.m. today, the American Anchor Baby, all right?
Amazing.
And go to rebuildingdemand.com, rebuildingdemand.com, and help us to help others. It's a nonprofit, it's tax deductible. Go to rebuildingdemand.com, rebuildingdemand.com, or call 800-411-BOND, 800-411-2663. Make a donation. We need your support through the summer months, all right? I want to go quickly back to Julie. And Julie is dealing with some issue with the family, with the kids and things like that. Julie, I forgot where we left off. Go ahead.
So what I was going to say was why I'm still over him, my husband, when it comes to the kids, is because I've been listening to your show, and I see that he still has the spirit of his mother in him. And so he's actually raising the kids. Like, our oldest son wants to be alpha. I can tell that he wants to take control, and he has that in him. But my husband seems to be intimidated by that, and he tears him down all the time. Or he's going after him because, like you said, my son is reminding him of me. So the girl in the family, my daughter, her tantrums are not being controlled because she's controlling the house with her temper tantrums. So in a way, he's repeating the cycle of lifting the woman up in the house and then beating down the man in the house. So that's why I'm stepping in, because I'm scared, because I see this happening.
But in your fear, you're making that happen. First of all, men should not marry women who already have children or kid or a child, or a woman should not marry a man who already have children, because kids they only yearn for their natural parents, and especially their fathers. And so as your son get older, he's going to have even more problem with your husband, because it's not his father. Inwardly, he only wanted his father. Why did he marry you? You already had a child.
When we got married, we were not Christians. We were in a fallen state. I got off of drugs 13 years ago, so I've had a pretty bad history, to say the least. He's brought up in an atheist, witchcrafty family. So we were both not in the right state when we met each other.
I understand. I do understand. Here's what I recommend, and I got to move on because of time here. Mm-hmm. You take your eyes off your husband, and you stop jumping in and getting in the way, and you just work on you and stay present and watch what's happening inside of you. So that the truth, the light, the love of God will guide you, and you will see how to deal with all things.
Okay.
But you can't keep jumping in the way of your husband, and while on the same time, on one hand, pretending you want him to lead the family, but yet you keep jumping in just because he said, "Help me, help me, help me." That doesn't mean you got to help him.
Okay, and it doesn't matter if he's doing it wrong.
Don't you even decide or not if he's doing it wrong. He gotta see for himself. Because you're doing it wrong too.
Right. Okay.
And now he's dealing with your mess of doing it wrong, and it's difficult for him to clean up your mess of what you've already done to the children. Because he doesn't, I haven't spoken to him, but he might not see how to deal with the hell that you've already created.
I'm sure he doesn't know how to deal with it, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why you need to stay out of the way and let him find his way as well.
Okay. Okay. I understand. Thank you.
All right. Good to talk to you, Julie.
Can I ask you one more Bible sample question?
Yes.
All right, so if someone asked me to pray for them, that doesn't do anything either, right?
Nope. You should already be in prayer for all, meaning you should wish all people well, even your enemy. Don't be angry at your enemy. Don't hate your enemy. Don't hate anyone. And in not hating them, you're wishing them well. And that's your prayer, that God will be done for them. You don't know what God's will is for them.
Okay.
But just wish all well, and that is your prayer.
Okay. Okay. And if I say before the silent prayer, you know, out loud, God, please help me to quiet my mind and watch my thoughts, help me through this process, if I'm saying that out loud, that's not going to do anything either?
No, God is like, what the? Because he's going to help you be still, let the light take over. He will show you. He will bring you out of that.
Because it's like saying he's not helping me by saying, can you help me?
Yeah, and you're praying to the devil. You don't even know God. You don't even know who to pray to. You're only praying to the devil.
Okay. All right.
What a mess!
One of these days I'm going to call and you're not going to say that.
I believe it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Bye, Julie. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Cisco. Cisco Kid was a friend of mine. He drank whiskey. I'm drinking wine. Cisco, out of Pennsylvania, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
How you doing, Jesse? Happy White History Month.
Thank you, man. Happy White History Month. July just feels white.
Oh, yeah, super white. Get right to the point for you.
All right.
So I called in a year ago talking about how my wife was pregnant and whatnot. Great news, baby's born, super healthy. Back in March, she was born. Now he's 4 months old. It's getting to be a lot for my wife, she's saying. She works a full-time job. She works night shifts, 3 nights a week, 12 hours.
Come a little closer to your phone and speak up a little bit.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
There you go. So, yeah, no, but, yeah, she came to me. She was asking me if I wanted to become a stay-at-home dad. First thought, right away, I was like, babe. But then I thought back. She was like, well, then if you don't want to stay at home, I was thinking about getting her mother, to come into the house. And, man, Satan is her daddy and her father and her uncle. Satan's everything. So I don't want that woman in my house whatsoever. So she's not giving me an ultimatum per se, but she's asking for more help in the sense of she wants me to either change my hours, because I work a lot of hours. I work upwards of 50 hours a week. So she's asking me to change jobs or do something part-time so I can be around more. The only reason why it makes sense is because she makes almost double what I make. She's making upwards of $150,000 a year. I'm making about 60. So it's not something that, you know, well, 60 days plus bonuses and whatnot.
Cisco, do not hang up. Your phone, some up with your phone. You're not coming across clear. There's a lot of wind blowing and blah, blah, blah sounds. Can you hold for a minute?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I'm going to let them work with you on your phone, and I'll come back to you. Do not hang up. All right. Super Chat.
Super Chat.
Super Chat.
Super, super.
Over on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, someone says, all of the experts have a nickname. Hake with the good hair, he white. Joel, he black. Nick the anchor, baby. Hassan, the Allah Akbar dog lover. The new guy seems to be educated, so maybe you can call him double AA for affirmative action. Just a thought. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for the suggestion as well. Nice.
Max Lank bought a coffee. Jesse, I spoke to you about resentment toward parents. You told me that if I cannot see a reason for resenting them, not to make one up. My parents were not perfect and had anger, but I have never resented them. But I'm wondering when I should expect to see a reason. Shouldn't that anger have been passed on to me when being raised by them? I cannot see the anger or resentment, and you mentioned that I shouldn't make one up unless I see for myself. When will I see?
You will see it when you're ready to see it. You don't want to see it yet. So when you're ready to see it, it will be shown to you so that you can go and forgive and be made free. All right? So don't worry about it. I don't know if you're doing the silent prayer, but do it. If you're not, I suggest you do it. And you'll see what's going on inside of you if you want to see it. I wish you well. Thank you.
Also on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk, Andrew, two coffees. I got some Bible thumping for y'all. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4:31-32.
Amazing. Thank you. Nice. Thank you.
And that's just four verses or five verses after where it says, be angry, but sin not. It says get rid of it.
Yeah, absolutely. What the? I appreciate it. Bible Thump of Thursday.
Gregatron with the coffee. Did y'all listen to the Joel Friday TV report show yesterday? It was incredible.
Nice. I did not get a chance to hear it.
I heard portions of it. It was interesting.
Nice.
Thank you, Gregatron.
Every Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m., Joel Friday TV. He black. Check it out.
It's me, Xenia, with a Rumble rant. Keep spreading the word, JLP. Have an amazing day, JLP and crew.
Thank you, and thanks for helping us by supporting it to get the word out there. Thank you very much.
Donnie, girl's idea, Dawn. In response to your the Jesus is God thing,
mm-hmm.
The archangel told Mary to call him Emmanuel, God with us. It's why we believe that.
Amazing. I wish you well with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Don, with the Rumble rant. Someone bought a coffee. Ronnie from Ohio, actually. More proof that Jesus is not God. Those who believe that Jesus is God must also believe that Jesus is the Holy Spirit, based on the Trinity. Jesus said that blasphemy against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Jesus clearly states that the Holy Spirit is separate from God and the Son. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is not Jesus, is not God, right?
Deep. Thank you, man. You're right. That's deep.
And he gives references.
I appreciate it.
From Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Right on. Bible, thought for third. Thank you, Ron. Amazing. Thank you.
Someone's coffee. Flat Earth question. How do they explain, they the flat earthers, I guess, the people who have flown around the world setting records, not to mention the ships and the airlines who have navigated around the world? If you head due east or west for long enough, you will end up where you started. I think people overcomplicate this just like they do every aspect of their life, such as the Bible, marriage, decisions, etc.
Amazing. Thank you. Nice.
Yeah. And thank you, guys. I do believe that that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you all for your support. And go and donate. Help us through the summer. You know, people vacation and things. They forget to donate while they're away. So go and make a donation and get us through the summer, all right? 888 rebuildingtheman.com. Rebuildingtheman.com/donate. Or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND to make a donation. I'm going to go back to Cisco. Cisco, let's try it again.
How you doing, Jesse? Can you hear me?
Oh, that's much clearer, much better. So your wife want you to stay home. She want to keep her job. You have one child with this woman. And
yep.
She make $100,000. You make $60,000. And your question to me is what?
Well, what would you do? She's telling me that she wants to bring my mother-in-law, you know, but, you know, she, you know, Satan's her daddy. I don't want her around my child like that.
Right.
So she's pretty much asking for more help. So what would your solution be? I mean, she's talking about either taking a part-time job, staying home full-time. My first thought was like beta, you know what I mean? Like, nope, why don't you stay home? But, you know, obviously with her income, we have mortgages, I have a card note. There's certain expenses that have to get paid, and on top of that, I like taking vacations, Jesse, and I like, you know, buying you coffee. So there's a certain amount of income that you know.
You say you like buying coffee?
All that. Yeah, you know, buymeacoffee.com. We got to buy JLP some coffee.
That's right. So why is everything egotistical for you? Why is that put before your wife and child?
Don't get me wrong. When I sat back, I'm like, well, given the choice, I'd rather me be around my son than my mother-in-law be around my son.
But so what I'm asking, why would you even consider staying home and being the wife and mother rather than making your wife stay home and raise and watch over your child for you? And not even consider the mother. The wife is supposed to be home watching over your children, keep your house going for you, and things like that. Why would you even have a conversation with her like that?
Oh, she put it on me. I didn't bring it on.
But she put it there because she believed that you would be able to say yes to it. Why not just say no, make her stay home, and if you, it sounds like you got some expenses right now, just you work two jobs, but make her be home because she's going to hate you for becoming the wife, and the kid's going to hate you because you're the mother and not the father.
No, I understand what you're saying. The thing is, she has a lot of anger, too. She still has the anger that she's trying to get through, and she's like, for example, like, she can't even put the baby down right. Like, when she puts the baby down, baby wakes up within the hour, like, fussy. I put the baby down, baby sleeps for, like, 6 hours straight.
But what does that have to do with making her stay home and watch over your kids rather than you stay at home and being the mother?
Well, I bring that up to say that, honestly, I'm better at it. I don't know if that's a strike against her, if that's a problem with me. But I guess that's why the thought came into her mind.
No, the thought came into her mind because she doesn't respect you at all. She sees you as a mama's boy, and that's why she can even have that conversation with you, and you'll consider it. Because if she respected you, that would never be a conversation. She would already be home raising your son. You were created to be the head of your wife and guide your family in the right way to go. And if you switch roles with her, it's not going to work. Because let's say you're making $60,000 now, she makes $100,000. The bills are there. Uh-huh. You can get a second job, maybe a part-time, do your full-time job and a second job and run your family in the right way rather than switching roles. It's going to only get worse. And I promise you, you're going to regret it.
No, for sure. No, I understand what you're saying.
What am I saying?
Well, you're saying that whatever I'm thinking is a bad idea.
Yeah, I can't believe you're thinking that way at all. It sounds like you were considering it. You shouldn't even consider.
She's trying to bring my mother-in-law in here. So I'm like
that's
that
why. That's another reason why she needs to stay home, and you don't need the mother-in-law there. You're right. You shouldn't let your mother-in-law in there either, or your mother. You should make your wife. That's the whole purpose of having a wife, to watch over your children.
Exactly. No, it was a conversation we have that I was given thought to. And I would love to. I wanted to get your input on it.
But I want you to see, and I understand that too. But I want you to see it clearly for yourself, because if you do it because I said it, it's still not going to work. You got to see that you are the head of your wife, and you cannot and should not let your wife make these kind of decisions. Her decisions will always be wrong. Every time the man listens to the woman, he will suffer.
Yep. No, I'm with you, Jesse. It's just when she brought up the mother-in-law, that got me, like, dismayed. You know what I mean?
But you should have been dismayed at the idea of her even suggesting that you stay home.
The whole thing had me dismayed, Jesse.
Yeah. And why are you dismayed?
Because I'm in my thoughts, Jesse.
Are you doing the silent prayer?
In the morning and in the afternoon, but, you know, it's hard to stay present when baby's crying, you know, phone calls from work, you know how it goes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, in the hectic process throughout the day, whether it be, you know, the baby or something from work or whatever the case may be, the dog, the cat, it's hard to stay present, or at least for me it is. Let me speak for myself.
It's not if you're doing the silent prayer. Do the silent prayer, watch those thoughts, and you'll be fine, but you got to keep the eyes on you. And if and no way in the world I'll stay home and be the wife. That doesn't make sense, right? But do what you see is best for you, all right?
Will do, Jesse.
All right, buddy. I got to take a break. One more hour to go. Back in a moment. Hate news, not the fake news. I'll be back. 888-77-JESSE.
Hey, listen, before I ask my question, I want to thank you so much. The silent prayer, you know, I'm 50 years old. At home, we have a 16-year-old, 14-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And I got to tell you, introducing the silent prayer to my family, instead of just sitting down and saying the same old prayer over and over again before we eat our meal, to just be silent, bringing all thoughts into captivity. Brother, that has been such a huge, huge blessing in our lives. I just want to encourage anyone to try that out. It's amazing to look around after we've done our silent prayer before we eat, to see the excitement in my kids' faces. Like, oh yeah, Dad, I had a bunch today. Or the other one will be like, yeah, you know, I had a couple things that I've been thinking about. It really takes root, Jesse. And so I want to thank you so much. And ever since then, it's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Turner. Stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. You're going to know God and his love. It's going to be amazing.
The Alec Baldwin shooting trial is happening today, I think. What a mess, huh? You know, they call it the Rust movie shooting because they want to take away from the fact that it's Alec Baldwin. But to me, he shouldn't even be tried, but it's a mess. NASA's PR having their astronauts who are stuck on the Starliner, International Space Station, they're doing, like, positive PR for the Starliner, even though there's a mess, even though there are errors. Supposedly, they're feeling positive. They better feel positive because otherwise they might be dismayed and stuck up in space. It's better to have a cheerful heart about it anyway. Ellen is done after her Netflix special. Did you know she has a Netflix special? Maybe I'll tell you all about it on the Hake Report. Or maybe not. Ellen DeGeneres. And then she's done after that because they've been going after her for being white, maybe. Or being nasty and angry and mean and lesbian. And also, little update, the mayor, the female mayor of Paris is going to jump in the River Seine, you know, that dirty one that's polluted and has, like, maybe E. coli or something like that. She's going to jump in and pretend like, oh, see, it's safe. It's safe enough for me to jump in. Scary stuff. What a mess. This is the end of hour two of the J.C. Lee Peterson Show. It is Bible Thumper Thursday, July 11th, A.D. 2024. There is one line open. You can call in right now. Or call in right now during Hake News, Not Fake News, 1-888-775-3773. You can dial for free, even via Skype, the dial pad. Look for the dial pad on Skype, even overseas, FYI. Russ movie shooting, according to Commie Nonsense Network, CNN. Opening statements in the involuntary manslaughter trial of actor Alec Baldwin, the Trump hater. The liberal Baldwin, not to be confused with the conservative Baldwin or the Christian one, began yesterday, not today. Nearly 3 years after the cinematographer Halina Hutchins was fatally shot in New Mexico. Remember that? On the set of the Western film Rust. Prosecutors accused Alec Baldwin of violating the cardinal rules of firearm safety by pointing a gun at a person and pulling the trigger. Not supposed to do that. The defense team, on the other hand, said the gun was deemed cold, meaning it had been checked and was, quote-unquote, safe, even though it was not, apparently. Alec Baldwin pleaded not guilty and has maintained he did not pull the trigger. I'm laughing because, I don't know, doesn't seem likely. But anyway, he could be right, I suppose, that the prop gun discharged and it was later found to be loaded with a live round. They called it a bullet, but I think it's a round, which includes the bullet. If convicted, the actor could face up to 18 months in prison and a $5,000 fine. What a mess. I think they were going out shooting with the prop guns with real rounds for fun, you know, during off hours. And that's how the confusion happened. Maybe. That's how they speculate, I heard. Two NASA astronauts. NASA does not mean lies, guys. According to CNN, Commie Nonsense Network, piloting the historic Starliner mission, they spoke favorably Wednesday about the vehicle that carried them to the ISS, International Space Station, about 250 miles above Earth, or 300 miles, plus or minus. Despite a string of issues that have delayed its return indefinitely. Indefinitely. Scary, kind of. The crew has been in space for more than a month, much longer than the week-long stay initially expected. NASA and Boeing have said that the fresh wave of issues affecting the flight should not prevent the spacecraft from ultimately bringing the astronauts Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore safely home. NASA has not named an expected time frame for their return to Earth, but insists the crew is not stuck in space, even though they are stuck. Well, in my opinion, whatever. What do I know? I know about Ellen DeGeneres a little bit. She is done after her Netflix special. The former talk show host, loved by everybody, except she hates the Christians and the normal people who don't believe in the gay agenda. She is ready to step out of the public eye after her Netflix special releases later this year. So there's your promo for her mess. 2 weeks remain until the 2024 Olympic Games kicks off in Paris. The mayor of the city said she will dive into the River Seine in a bid to show its suitability for swimming events despite ongoing pollution concerns. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP.
Have a major announcement right now. So the whole month is White History Month from now on. Happy White History Month.
It's White History Month. I'm gonna celebrate with my friends. It's White History Month. So be sure to tell everyone that we'll always be different months to celebrate. This month's gonna be White History.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm Jesse Lee Peterson. Welcome to the third hour of the show today. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. My biblical question for this week, and it's a doozy. Why are you dismayed by others? Why are you dismayed by others? An amazing question. We have, you can listen to the show live if you're out and about anywhere in the world. If you're busy doing things and you just don't have time to sit and watch it, and you know you're going to podcast it later, you can still be listening anywhere in the whole wide world by calling the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. That's 605-615-4131. And to donate or have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeACoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. And I appreciate it. It's Thursday. It's the last hour of the show for Thursday this day. It is Bible Thumper Thursday.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Are you ready? Nice.
Bible Thumper,
888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE. And happy White History Month. July is our 7th year celebrated, and July just feel white. And we have some interesting things coming up for you about white history. We got to remember and not forget, all right? So just a time to reflect. A time to appreciate, a time to celebrate the 4th of July, a time to appreciate the white man who founded and created the greatest country on this side of heaven. None like it. and with the help of God. And we're being told everything but what is true about the country because the enemies of God and the enemies of the white people want to destroy it. And they're doing an amazing job of doing that and creating a third world country. It's mind-blowing to see it. So July is White History Month, all right? Let me go to a first-time call out of Michigan, Samantha. Samantha, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jesse. I just want to say I love your message. First of all, I watch you all the time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So I pretty much have a couple comments. One, I think it's great that you say racism doesn't exist. I didn't even understand that at first, but now I understand that what you mean is it comes from hate. Anybody who hates, just because they made a name for it doesn't make it true. You just hate.
Yes, absolutely, Samantha.
It's horrible what's going on right now, and it's so sad to see when united we stand and divided we fall, and nobody understands that.
Yeah, it's a mess. So, it's mind-blowing to see that, too.
It is. And to watch the women just sit there, they think that guys are saying, follow a fool. That's not what we're saying. That's not what people are saying. They're saying, find a man you can get behind, not in front of and not beside. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
And I'm a little nervous. This is my first time calling, and I wasn't real prepared, but I just want to thank you. And, man, just keep this up.
I will. What are the, when you speak this truth, because that's what it is, to other to other women, what do they say?
Oh, they don't like it. I mean, my girls are starting to listen. I'm very proud of them. They don't say anything. They're like, I could never. And I'm like, you know what? I take care of myself. I've been single for 8 years. I've been on a self-exploration expedition. I'm in school. I have a job. Man, it'd be nice to have some help. But, you know, now all men just expect that they want to know where you're from. And if you have kids, they don't want to know if you have goals or what you're doing. But we did that to ourselves.
Yeah.
And we can't really complain about that anymore. It's disgusting, and man, it's nice. It's really sad that you can't say stuff like that anymore, or everyone's against you, and it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, you can say it, and you should say it. And the people who are against you, they've never been with you anyway, either your family members or anyone. So they've never been with you, and be glad to see that and let them go and wish them well.
That's right. Like, I had a friend that was staying with me. My landlord didn't want her. I moved out of the house so that she could come with me. She didn't even show up to help me clean or anything. And I just got rid of her. She seemed to be doing well and listening to the message, and then she just treats people like they're nothing. It makes no sense. And another thing I want to say is all these people who are choosing people because of the color of their skin to be their friend, you're in a lot of trouble. If that's all it takes to be your buddy, you are in a lot of trouble.
That's for sure.
I don't pick my friends based on the color of their skin, but I mean, you know, I don't have any friends anymore. Figured out I made a lot of bad decisions as when I was younger, and I'm doing everything I can to correct that.
Right on. When you stay with it, and you haven't seen anything yet, it become amazing if you stay with it.
I know. I'm halfway through college. I'm doing a lot of really good things, and I'm looking for a man that I can follow, and I know what I bring to the table. I don't just assume because I'm a woman, I should have the best. I assume that because I'm the best, I know what I want. We should be evenly yoked. That's
right on.
That's my basic philosophy. And next time I call, I'll be a lot more prepared. I just didn't expect anybody to answer.
You did fine. Call me again, and happy White History Month.
Thank you.
All right.
Have a nice day, Jesse. Thank you for your message.
You're welcome. Thank you. 888-7753-773. Heard around the world. by everybody and their mama. Let me go to Romania and talk to John. Romanian John, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Peterson.
Hey, John.
Glad to be hearing from you.
You too, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Okay. So, first off, I have a comment about the clip you guys showed last week with the parents carrying their children and pretending to hit the wall, like the kid hit the wall, and then see how they reacted.
Oh, yeah.
And most of the kids...
Go ahead.
Yeah, and most of the kids were sort of surprised and terrified that something bad happened, but that was only induced because of the parent, because how they reacted.
You're right because about that, man.
Children, because children understand more than we tend to think. They shouldn't be treated like some incapacitated people not understanding stuff. They do understand. They're just not very good at expressing things. And those kids were like, I don't know, 1 year old, something like that.
So John is talking about a video we played last week, or maybe earlier this week, parents holding the little babies in their arms, and they hit the wall right behind the kid, and they go, oh, and the kids start crying. And they thought it was funny that they were traumatizing their children by causing them to overreact, to be afraid. And they were traumatizing their own children and getting a thrill from doing that to the children. What a sad way to live. But you're absolutely right, John, about that.
Parents tend to become idiots from what I see. They just want a child for a thrill.
They have no love.
Basically, yeah. I saw a parent, like a father, in a city waiting for a friend to answer. He didn't allow his two daughters to go near a cat. Like, we're not allowed to touch the cat. And he started getting angry. And I saw the cat had a fleece collar. And I noticed that she has to be tended to. It had been raining, so she didn't look so clean. But the father was like very angry, and she kept pressing his daughters on. And after they passed, I talked to the cat, and I was like, "Hey, how are you doing?" He walked up, the cat walked about, and then the cat just jumped straight at me, and was like very cuddling me. And it was no issue. She could have dealt with the issue, like telling the daughters, "Go ahead, touch the cat, play with the cat. It's no problem. Remember that you have your hands dirty, and when you reach home, you can wash your hands and everything is all right." But no, he wanted to be angry about it.
Well, parents, like
inspiring authority.
Parents do not love their children. I don't care what anyone says. Parents do not love their children. They have no love. Amazing.
I tend to think so myself.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you, John. I appreciate that, man.
Right on. I also have a question about the situation I have at work with a coworker of mine. I work at a cement plant as an automation, as a system engineer.
Yes.
And today I was trying to fix a wear, a flow control gate controlled by the wear. And this coworker, he's like the head of that department, the expedition and grinding department at the end of the plant, let's say. And he didn't wait for my answer. He stopped the wear as I was trying to fix it, and many things were not working very, very well properly. And I was trying to understand how the wear works, because the wear also doesn't respond immediately. It was showing anomalies, and he just shut down the wear because he can't work like that. He's always complaining on the station, on the walkie-talkies, like he can't work that, like that with the equipment, and I don't know. He's always complaining, and he's always agitating people. And so my question is, I don't want to deal with him anymore. Unless it comes from my boss, I won't want to hear from anyone else in the plant. And I don't want to deal with him anymore. But at the same time, I don't want to get angry, and I always get angry when I interact with him. He always yells at me, like, don't raise your tone, even though I'm not raising my tone. He can't answer easy questions. Or one time he said that I commented something I didn't comment on the walkie-talkies. He just had to say something on the walkie-talkies. He can't understand basic questions. He always gets angry, and he triggers me in some sense. So my question is, how to deal with a person like this, if by any chance I've made my question clear?
The best way to deal with him by not dealing with him, meaning do not get angry. If you are feeling anger because you've given into it, just relax and watch that anger. Let it pass, but do not argue with him. Don't try to prove anything with him. And I promise you, you would deal with him perfectly. Things would work out on your behalf and not his. But you got to stop arguing with him. And don't. It's an opportunity for you to overcome anger.
I see. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so...
It interferes sometimes in my work. I'm trying to fix something, to work out
him. Report that to your boss. Let your boss handle that.
I know. He knows him. My boss always tells him, leave him alone. Don't get bothered.
That's what your boss tell you about him?
Sorry, what?
Your boss tell you to leave him alone?
Yeah, like jokingly, don't get affected by him. Leave him alone. Don't get bothered with that. But at the same time, my boss sometimes gets triggered by this guy as well.
Well, if your boss doesn't care or not stopping him from not doing his work, there's nothing you can do. You just do your work. If you shut the machine down, don't you get mad. You let your boss know and let the boss handle that. But don't you fight with him at all so that you'll be fine no matter what happens.
No one can fight with him.
Right. Yeah, don't get angry at him.
Yeah, I know. That's the solution. But he tends to be very easily angered.
Why don't your boss deal with him?
No one can deal with him.
Not even your boss?
Not really anyone. Maybe his wife.
Amazing. What a mess. Well, based on what you've said, just stay away from the anger, and you will see how to deal with the situation perfectly. But you got to stay away from the anger. And if this anger is coming up because of this situation, be glad to see the anger so you can overcome it, and you will see what to do.
Yeah, I understand. It's just that he's interfering with my work.
Right. I would just let the boss know that if she doesn't fine, then you should be fine with it too.
Right on.
Amazing, John. Good to hear from you, man.
Good to hear from you as well, Mr. Peterson.
All right. Call me again.
Till next time. Sure. Till next time. I wish you all the best.
You
cheers.
Too, John. Thank you, man. Amazing. All the way from Romania. Heard around the world by everybody and their mama. Let me go to, there's a line open now, 888-7753-773. Let me tell you this first. According to CNN, former Representative Anthony Weiner's ex-wife, Uma, 48 years old, is engaged to George Soros' son, Alex Soros. Huma Abedin, yeah, that's right. Well, apparently she is engaged, 48 years old, engaged to George Soros' son, Alex Soros, 38. Whoa! Oh, my God, he's marrying his mama. You know that's going to be hell. I wonder how George feels about that. Huma has a 12-year-old son with Wiener. Bill Clinton had officiated their weddings. That's according to Wikipedia. What a mess, huh? That ain't gonna last. Bank on it. She's 48 and he's 38 and she have a 12-year-old son. Ain't enough money in the world to make that work. Ain't enough money in the world. Why do you ask Anthony Weiner? It ain't gonna work. I wish him well, but it ain't gonna work. He's married his mama. That's crazy. Let me go to Manuel, a first-time call out of Houston. Manuel, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Mr. Jesse Lee, what a pleasure.
Thanks for calling, man. I appreciate it.
Awesome, man. I'm a big fan, man. It's awesome. I get to talk to you. How are you today?
All is well. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, I wanted to talk to you because going through a very difficult time at the moment. I found the Lord very early in my life at about 20 years old. I'm currently 27. But I truly understood the full picture. You actually helped me with that a lot. About 2 years ago, I would say. We now congregate every single Sunday. I try to read the word almost every day. Not every single day, but basically, I'm calling you, Jesse, because, you know, I have a wife with two beautiful children, a four-year-old boy, one-year-old girl, and she is going to leave next Wednesday.
Your wife is going to leave?
Yes. Go ahead.
She believes what?
She believes that the grass is greener on the other side. I'm not a saint, Jesse, obviously, but I have improved everything that she required me to be better on as far as being a better, being a more attentive father. I would lust for other women, and I don't anymore. I had a marijuana addiction, not anymore. I mean, I've just worked on myself a lot to be the best version of myself, to be, you know, an example to my kids, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like she finds a new excuse every time. And, you know, she's going about 8 hours away from here, where her sister is. And I mean, she thinks that her being able to work more hours is going to, you know, be better than us sticking together and coming up together. So.
She's taking your children with her?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Unfortunate.
Why are you letting her take your children with her?
I mean, what can I do, Jesse?
You say, no, you're not taking my children.
I mean, of course, I do say that, but she says, like, you know, I'm still going to take them. You know, I don't want to get to the point where it's, like, you know, a physical confrontation. I could never put my hands on a lady. You know, I do believe that if I take this to, you know, like a court or something, I mean, let's be honest, Jesse, they always win.
Yeah, they do. Unfortunately, but yeah, you're right. And your question for me is what?
I guess, how do I deal with this pain that I'm dealing with, Jesse, that, you know, I'm not having a hard time letting go of her because she's not bringing me peace at all. She's actually not acting like a wife at all. I mean, all her life, all the women in her family are divorced women, you know, very masculine women. And I feel very guilty for picking this woman, for marrying this woman. Never through the church. It was more like legal. And, you know, I feel a lot of guilt for picking her. And I feel very heavy, even more guilty because, you know, my children are going to grow up away from me and with someone that, you know, clearly doesn't follow godly values, you know, and it just worries.
And why do you feel guilty?
Because she's not a good person.
But why do you feel guilty that she is not a good person? That's not your problem that she's not a good person.
I picked her to create a family.
But when you did, you were blind. You didn't see what you were doing.
Correct.
So why do you feel guilty for being blind? You couldn't see.
This is why I had to call it, man. You always answer the best. You always ask the right question.
Amazing.
Amazing, exactly. I mean, you're right, Jesse. I didn't know any better, right?
Right.
But what about my kids, man? Who's gonna? Because here's my fear now, right? You know, my fear is that my 1-year-old little daughter is gonna be just like her. And what worries me the most is my 4-year-old boy who, you know, I don't want him to be no beta, you know? So I don't want him to have these, you know, and of course, you know how women are, man, especially women like that, you know, they'll find somebody, you know, and then who the heck is that guy going to be, you know, what's he going to be like, you know, he's definitely not going to be a man with godly values because he's not going to stand with that, right? So...
Come back closer to your phone, but not too close.
Sorry, Jesse.
Why are you worried about things that's not happening right now? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Because that's always how it goes, Jesse. You know that whenever you have a single mother household, this is a recipe for disaster.
But that doesn't mean that's going to happen with you. Unless you believe that it's going to happen, you're going to bring it upon yourself. In your head... thinking about tomorrow and it doesn't exist. But if you would just work on you, and this is a perfect time to do that too, is work on you and let God's will be done. He'll take care of you.
And then how can I be a masculine role model for my son if I'm not there every day, Jesse?
By not trying to be, don't worry about it. There's no such thing as a masculine role model. You want to be a son.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Example,
yeah, I know what you mean. But now that you married the wrong woman, she's taking your kids away from you right now. Be glad that she's gone so that you can work on you and let God's will be done. Don't assume that this is going to happen or this is not going to happen. You may end up with your kids before you even realize it. You don't know what's going to happen to you and your kids. You have to have a way to see. In the meantime, work on you.
Correct.
You're living in your head and you're having all these assumptions about what's going to happen. And that's not good.
I know, Jesse. It's the whole modern woman thing that we're having to deal with in this generation that just drives me insane. But you're right. I shouldn't be thinking of making, you know, predictions, especially negative ones, right?
You should be making any good ones or the bad ones. They both are wrong. You should just, because there is no future, all you have is right now, you should work on living now and overcoming your fallen state and let God's will be done. You'll be fine. Everything will be fine. And whatever will happen... you'll be fine with it, but you got to work on you. And if you worry, you're of your father, the devil, and not of God. There is no worry in sons of God and daughters of God. There is no worry.
Yep. You're right. God does not worry.
Right.
You're absolutely right.
So why are you worried?
I am worried because of that. Yeah, I already told you. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, come back a little closer to your phone. Stay close to it.
Yeah, I'm worried. I'm worried about my kids' future, Jesse. That's all it is. They're building their character. Because obviously, you know.
But why worry about a future that doesn't exist and live now so you can deal with now? And you don't know what's going to happen with the children because all you have is right now. There's no such thing as a future.
Correct.
Am I wrong about
that? That's where stress comes from. No, you're definitely not wrong. Where stress comes from.
Yeah, why are you worried about a future that doesn't even exist? Hold on a minute, Manuel.
Yes, sir.
Hold on. The treasure chest is now open on G Live. I'll be back in a moment. Baba Thumper! Baba Thumper! People tell me I have a lot of alpha energy. Jesse, what gives you so much alpha energy, they say? Is it energy drinks? No. Is it cigars? No. It's alpha jerky from Big Club. USA, Alpha Male, and you can have Alpha Jerky Energy too. Amazing. Baba Thumper Thursday.
Baba Thumper.
Amazing. Baba Thumper Thursday, 888-775-3773. Check out BigClubUSA.com. The Alpha Jerkies are amazing. Really. They are really good. And especially if you, like, work out and you want a little something to snack on, but you don't want a heavy meal right now, and you will love Alpha Jerkies. It's amazing. And also, don't forget Punchy TV, Punchy.tv. Go to Punchy.tv and watch the network. Watch the network on our own platform now. Isn't that amazing? Thank you all. It's amazing. And don't forget to subscribe and follow Punchy.tv and on YouTube and Instagram. All right, and last but not least, for personal shout-outs, I would do those for you as well. Personal shout-out, birthdays, shout-out, wedding, congratulations, anniversaries, whatever the occasion is, I would do it for you by going to Cameo, Cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson, Cameo.com/Jesse Lee Peterson. And the Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. TheHakeReport.com from 9 to 11. And after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday TV. And at 4 p.m. today, a special. At 4, not 12 today, but 4 p.m. Pacific time, the American Anchor Baby. And you don't want, I'm telling you, call your mama, call your daddy, call your brother, call your sister, call your enemies. Special today, the American Anchor Baby at 4 p.m. Pacific time. 4 p.m. Pacific time. All right? You know how those specials can be, so you don't want to miss it. Also, I appreciate you all for supporting us, right? We got a lot more stuff to do. 888-77-JESSE. Let me go quickly back to Emmanuel out of Houston, Texas. Emmanuel's wife is leaving. She's taking a midnight train to hell. And he didn't say hell, but I'm telling you that. And she's taking his two children. So your question for me, Manuel, is what?
how to deal with the whole, you know, not worrying about the future. I mean, you pretty much answered it perfectly. And it's very ironic that it's very funny that the reason why I laughed, Desi, is because about a month ago, she actually picked up the Old Testament on her own, right? And she was telling me about, you know, the whole Genesis. And it's just hilarious because I told her a couple of days ago, I'm like, you do realize you're doing exactly what you did, right?
Yeah, come back close to your phone.
Yes, sir. Do you hear me?
Yeah, stay close to it. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, sir. So that is very ironic because she actually picked up the Old Testament on her own about a month ago, and she told me about the book of Genesis, and I told her a couple of days ago, I was like, you do know you're doing exactly what Eve did, right? And she's like, oh, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you see, what is it, Jesse, that no matter what we tell them, how we guide them, with how much love we speak to them, you know, like, is it unstoppable when they just can't listen? Or, like, I mean, I don't understand.
But they love their misery. They hate men, and they don't want to listen. So let them suffer. And you should not be feeling anything, any kind of way, anything at all that she's leaving. And if you do feel something about it, you may hurt your God. And this is your time to overcome so that you would never do it again. And you should only have God. Love God with all your heart, soul, and might, along with no one else or nothing else. Even with the children, you should not love the children more than God. And if she walk off with the children, let her take them. You stay with God, and everything's going to work out for you.
Yes, sir. Now, I do have an extra question. When you say, when you ask me why you're letting them take them, why are you letting her take them? I mean, what happens if she calls the cops and I'm not letting her leave with my son? I mean, what can happen? Is that, I don't even know what can happen.
How about if she's going to call, if she's leaving and you have told her that she cannot take your children? And mm-hmm. And she insists on do it, why don't you call the cops and let the cop come over and see how you're handling this so she can't falsely accuse you?
Okay.
What do you think about that?
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I can definitely do that, Jesse. I'd rather not get the law involved, you know. I know you always enforce this, right? To get the cops on the ladies. I get it. Look, I absolutely agree. I'd rather not be the guy who brings in the law. You know, I'm always, you know, I grew up with very conservative parents who, you know, things never escalated to that level, right? And I just, you know, I wanna be the guy who keeps it peaceful. But at the same time, it's my case we're talking about, right? Just like you're saying. So
that's why women are able to do what they do to the weak men, because they know that they can smack you, they can yell at you, they can falsely accuse you, they can do whatever they want, and they know you're not going to bring in the cops. They can call the cops on you, but you're not going to call them on them, and they know that. And as long as they know that, they're going to continue to degrade you. But if you know if she like look around and hear the cops are, and you're telling the cop, hey, I don't want this woman to take my kids away with her, it's going to be a different story because you would know you're not weak. You're not playing a game.
Yeah.
If you yell at her or did something, I bet you she wouldn't hesitate to call the cops on you.
No, she would never get the cops, but she would definitely do something like leave and don't tell me where she's going. That's something that she would do. She's Latina, Jesse. This is how they do, okay?
Yeah.
Latinas don't believe in cops. They believe in doing everything, you know, on their own, you know?
But I would not put it past her that she wouldn't call the cop. Hopefully you're right. But I wouldn't put it past. So listen, for now, let her go. Say bye to her, let her go. and you start working on you.
Yes, sir.
And don't go into your head about what's going to happen and what will might happen. Forget about what has happened, and you start living right now and let the spirit of truth guide you. And you just don't know what's going to happen. You can end up with your kid, or anything can happen. But if you get into your head, you're going to create the wrong outcome.
Yes, sir. Will do. And Jesse, you are a blessing, my friend.
You're welcome, man. Don't be begging her back. Don't be acting like you want her to stay. Don't be looking all sad and down and out because she's leaving. If she wants to leave, just say, okay, bye. I'll see you later.
You know, it's funny that you say that, because yesterday was the first time that, I don't know if you know, but Houston, we're out here, we're having a power outage because of a hurricane. And, yeah, we've been without power since Monday.
Oh, okay.
And yesterday I took her out to a little lunch, all of us. And, you know, I tried to talk to her. And for the first time, Jesse, I actually said exactly what you just said. I didn't say bye like that, right? But for the first time, I let go, Jesse. You know, I was like, you know what? Go ahead. You know, let reality take care of you. Let God take care of you. You know, if I cannot stress about things that are not under my control, Jesse, right?
That's so right.
I'm just going to put it all in God's hands. I'm going to just work on myself. Like you said, you know, because of her, actually, you know, and because of my children, because of the whole family picture, I've been able to be a better version of myself. So, you know, if God has a new path for me, man, I'm with it. Now I'm going with God's plan, no matter what. So,
and when she leaves, don't be asking her to come back. Don't be calling her to come back.
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah. And just work.
Yesterday was the first day that I said, you know what? Okay, go ahead.
Yes. And what did she say when you said that?
What did she what?
When you said, okay, go ahead. What did she say?
Oh, I mean, here's the thing, Jesse. She said, okay, I will. And, like, you know, I get the feel for the past couple months, Jesse, I get the feeling that she was just looking for any excuse to go check out if the grass is truly greener on the other side, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it is what it is, Jesse, you know?
That's
if she
right.
thinks she can do... If she thinks she, you know, the grass is greener where you water it, not on the other side, right? So it is what it is, Jesse. You know,
absolutely.
I can't really do much. I've done everything I could. You know, I try to better myself in every aspect that she felt like I needed to work on.
That was your first mistake. Husband. You should never try to better your life based on what a woman thinks or anyone thinks.
I agree 100%, Jesse. I agree. And you know what the problem is, Jesse? That... Unfortunately, my father passed away when I was 19, you know, as soon as I became an adult. And, you know, I didn't have, nobody told me the man world, you know. I kind of just had to see it for myself and kind of just learn it as it goes. You know, I had them growing up, so, you know, I had the moral value aspect of things. But, you know, as a man, nobody taught me none of this, you know.
Have you forgiven your mother?
I knew you were going to ask me that. So I watch your show a lot. That's how I knew you were going to ask me that. So it's funny because when I first heard this from you, you know, that's the first thing I did, Jesse. I'm a very self-critical person, you know, and I try to always see what I'm doing wrong. And yes, I did. But sometimes, even though I already told her, Jesse, and I try every day, I still feel like there's something inside me that hasn't let go all the way, because I do believe that my mom babies me a little too much, you know?
Come back close to your phone. Stay close to your phone.
Sorry, Jesse. It's my connection. Sorry.
Okay.
Remember what I told you? It's a power outage here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, like I said, I did forgive her. You know, I did tell her. But there's something inside me, man, that I still feel some type of resentment because I get the feeling that she babied me a little too much, you know?
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, my older brother is the perfect example of a beta. Beta!
Yeah.
And, I'm not because...
Have you told her that to back off and stop babying you?
No, she doesn't baby me anymore.
Oh, okay.
But I'm saying, like, in my crucial years, you know,
becoming oh, I got
a
you.
Man, right?
Let me ask you this. Yeah, are you doing the silent prayer?
No, I'm not.
What's
Can you
up?
Educate me a little bit?
You don't know about it?
No, sir.
Okay, I want you to go to rebuildingtheman.com/prayer and start doing that so God can bring you out of your imagination and emotions. Emotions are evil. The so-called good emotion and the bad emotion are evil. And and he's going to bring you out of your thoughts and take away the spirit of anger and all of that. So just for now, start doing the silent prayer. Let me know how it goes, and you'll be fine.
Okay. Thank you, Jesse. You are a blessing, my friend.
All right. Let me know how it goes, and I wish you well, too, all right?
Thank you, my friend, and God bless all your team, man. You guys are doing awesome work, and keep spreading God's word, man. I don't even need to tell you.
Right
can
on.
Can I get an amazing?
Amazing.
Amazing. Thank you,
amazing.
Jesse. God bless, brother. Okay.
You too. Let me know how the prayer go.
Yes, sir. We'll do.
All right.
Thank you, Jesse. Bye-bye.
You're there. Bye now. 888-77 Jesse. Super chat.
Super chat.
Super chat.
Over on Rumble, a Rumble rant from Pastor Chatelet.
You gotta know how to rumble.
Think for yourself. Trust yourself. Research for yourself. Be in control of yourself. Never let someone else drive you. Those who try to drive you are not your friend. Thank you, Jesse and team and chat.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your support. Thank you. Absolutely.
Mighty Mike bought a coffee. Howdy, Jesse. If I have a judgment of someone in head as a thought, is that me being judgmental, or is that the not me trying to make me think I'm judging?
So if they have a judgment in the thought of someone?
Yeah.
I don't quite understand that question. It sounds like it should be, but I understand it.
If I have a judgment of someone in my head as a thought, is that me being judgmental, keyword mental, or is that the not me trying to make me think that I'm judging? Am I really judging, or is it the not me thinking that I'm judging?
Make that a little clearer. I don't want to just respond just to have a response. Make that a little clearer for me, all right? Make the question a little clearer. Thank you.
Or call in.
Yeah, you can call in. 888-775-3773.
888-77-JESSE.
Thank you.
Hokajic C. Bought a coffee. Did you light a big firework for White History Month?
No. No firecracker.
Yeah, we're white and civilized.
Yeah.
Someone bought you a coffee. I might have time to call in next week on Bible Thumper Thursday, but I don't have time today. I'd like to discuss the books of the Bible that left out of the King James Version with you. Not sure if you're familiar. Book of Jasher, blah, blah, blah.
No.
There are many interesting, not sure why they were left out. Any ideas?
Nope. But I have heard their books. Of course, human beings are evil. So down through the time, the Bible has been around for a long time, and it definitely has been changed over and over and over and over again. Every time they do a new version of the Bible, they're changing the Bible. So I can understand that there have been books left out because that's what human beings do. Amazing. Thank you.
James Jeep bought a coffee. The dramatic music Trump has used many times at his rallies is called something, 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 something. This Trump nodding to Q supporters. Hang on to your rears, says James Jeep.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
C on C, three coffees. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning.
Anthony's Wiener's wife is keeping it all in the swamp. George Soros is a Jew-hating Jew who hates America. And she's revenging her hornball husband, Wiener. By the way, Jesse Boo, you need to take a look at J.D. Vance real deep. I wouldn't recommend him for VP. The true hardworking Ohioans wouldn't even vote for him. If they do, they're rhino and liberal. He's all about his money. He's part of the swamp. So is Rubio, Little Marco. It's a tough decision because there is nobody like Donald Trump. He's not part of them.
Oh, VP. Amazing. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Shout out to the top contributors, Games for Rec, Maverick Angel, Misty, Good Vibes, 555-555-565, and the rest are the supporters on the DLive crew. And thank you, guys. I do believe that that is all for now.
Amazing. Thank you all. I do appreciate it. Thank you very much for your support. Let me go quickly to a first-time caller out of Vietnam. Her around the world. Bye, everybody and their mama. Let me go to Luke out of Vietnam. Luke, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jesse. So glad to be with you this first time. I actually was outside in a quieter spot earlier, watching the little bats fly around the lake. But I got a flat battery, and your wonderful guy who helps you screen all your callers let me get back in from the internet cafe. So I wanted to talk to you about a former guest you had on your show 12 years ago, and you shared this segment from her, Rachel Belinsky.
Rachel Belinsky.
Yeah,
how many years ago?
12 years ago, Occupy LA protester who you thought was under the influence of marijuana. You suggested that might be the case.
Oh, okay. I don't. Ain't no way I remember. I can't even remember yesterday. And there's no way I will remember 12 years ago.
Oh, well, I'm actually doing a lot of work around this because she has something to do with what happened in 2016 when WikiLeaks broke spirit cooking. Remember, you know, Trump had the whole incident with grabbing something, and then everyone thought Trump was done, and then Hillary Clinton got some bad news out of WikiLeaks to do with her campaign manager, who got his emails hacked by Guccifer 2.0, and all those emails were put on WikiLeaks. And they were verified as authentic because they had, you know, digital signatures, you know, called DKIM. Anyway, this spirit cooking cult has a name, and they're Satanists and the Ordo Templi Orientis. And when she was calling you up,
hold on one minute, buddy. I want give this information to my producer and let me look into it because I have no idea what you're talking about, and I don't want to put out the wrong information out there about people. So just give it to Nick or my producer. I'll look into it, and we'll talk about it, all right? And because of time, too. Are you familiar with Internet?
Not really.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I just don't know Internet stuff. But give that information to someone, to my producer or Nick. Somebody going to pick up in a minute. Let me go to Jamil out of Canada. Jamil, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
All this well.
Yo, Jesse, I got to tell you, you're G'd up from the feet up, man. Your kung fu is fantastic. It's fantastic. What? You're awesome at what you do, brother.
Everybody awesome was kung fu fighting.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you a quick question and then just answer the biblical question real quick, Jesse,
all right.
If you don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah, so my question is, the other day I was at work, real quick, and I noticed that my boss he kept putting me in a box with the other workers, in particular, like the other black worker, the only other black worker that's there. I don't believe in racism either at all, not even a little bit, because I see the evil over the what they want to say is racism. But I couldn't understand why he kept doing it. And then one day I was talking to the other black guy that works there. And this guy, I don't know why he thought he could tell me this. He's telling me allegedly he's selling illegal substances out of the store. And the boss told him, don't do that. And he looks at me like he can't believe the boss would tell him, don't do that. And I'm like, what the? And I realized to myself, oh, the boss is putting us in these same, like if the boss says anything about me at all, that if he doesn't please him, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. He just put me in a box with that guy. And I wanted to ask you, are people conditioned? Because they believe in racism, or they think they believe in racism, are they conditioned to put people in boxes kind of like against their will type of thing? Is he doing that and he doesn't even realize he's doing that?
And does he say that he's putting you in a box?
He doesn't say he's putting me in a box. No, he doesn't.
But how do you know that he is then?
Because when I was talking to him, me and him were having a conversation, and he specifically brought up that he doesn't need me and that other guy. Specifically, he's like, I don't need you and him, but I love you guys. I'm like, no, you don't. But in my mind, I didn't say it to him directly, but I was like, okay. But he specifically brought me and that guy up for two different things completely. But every time he brings that guy up, he's talking to me, he'll bring up that other my coworker.
And so why don't you ask him why is he doing that so you could be clear instead of thinking that he's doing that. And he might not, in his mind, he might not be doing that or thinking that way. Why don't you ask him why is he doing it that way?
Because I'll be honest with you, Jesse, because two conversations with this gentleman, I find it to be very, very feminine. Very feminine. He doesn't handle conversation well.
Oh, I see.
He can't handle when he's talking to a man. He immediately starts to like I was talking to him and I said, every time I talk to you, you tell me that you don't need me. I understand that you may feel that way. You don't have to tell me all the time. I enjoy my job. If you don't need me, you don't need me. There's nothing I could do.
And so when you ask him, why do you say you don't need me? What did he say?
You know what he did? He literally said, so at that time, we were in the back room, and a gentleman was coming out of the bathroom. And he literally did this. I kid you not. He looked at the guy, and he deflected. He said, go and tell him what you just said about him. I don't, like, he just said that. That was it. And the guy started laughing, and he's like, Jamil didn't say anything about me, but he would deflect. He's like a woman. He would just make things up in his mind and deflect. I have never seen nothing like this in my life. It is insanity.
Well,
but you can't actually have a conversation with him.
Well, let me just say, because it's not clear and I don't know what's really going on there, just go there and do your work and don't get involved with him in that way. You're there to earn a living. So you just go and earn your living and let him, you know, let him live his own quiet, whatever he's doing, and you'll be fine. You know what? I need you to call me tomorrow because we're going to get cut off in a minute. Can you call me back tomorrow?
God bless you. I will call you. Thank you so much, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Thank you. I'm out of time. The Hake Report is coming up now. The Hake Report is coming up now. And then after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. and at 4 p.m. today, a special with the American Anchor Baby. You don't want to miss this special. Make sure you set your DVR. You let everybody know. Set your clock. So you remember, at 4 p.m. today, you want to check out the American Anchor Baby. And believe it, you're going to want to call him. You're going to want a conversation with the American Anchor Baby today at 4 p.m., not 12, but 4 p.m. Pacific time. Thank you all for your support. Go to RebuildingTheMan.com. RebuildingTheMan.com and do the silent prayer and watch. Forgive, folks. Forgive your mama. Forgive your daddy. God will forgive you and things will start to open up for you. All right? Amazing Baba Thumper Thursday.
Baba
Tomorrow's
Thumper.
Open Line Friday if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. And to the callers, Ryan out of Texas, Luke out of Vietnam, and somebody just hung up. Call me tomorrow. Take care.
Baba Thumper.
Baba Thumper Thursday. So, here's what I recommend. I invite you to download my silent prayer.
I know some people have called in and they wonder if the silent prayer is working. And I just want to take a second and to tell them that it works. You just have to stick with it.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I started doing before I even forgave my parents. And I was so depressed and suicidal at some times that I just would have to stop in the middle of my job or whatever I was doing and go into the silent prayer. And it really does help. Like, I don't have those anymore.
Amazing. You haven't seen anything yet. Doubt every thought. Bring every thought into captivity. Just let them all pass. Don't judge them. You haven't seen anything. It gets better and better and better and easier, easier, easier. So my gift to you, no charge, at RebuildingTheMan.com/church.
Like, my cousin, like, sent me you, and I thank him for that. It was more of a, you know, he thinks the whole, like, everything's a joke. That just adds a little spice to it. But in the heart of what you're saying, there is real things going on.
Yeah.
People want to overlook that. And I'm telling you, Mr. Peterson, I'm not one of those people. And I thank God that, you know, he showed
you to me, and sometimes we just need some Jesse in our lives, I guess.
I wish we had more brothers like you. We need more brothers like you, just because we don't have most guys that can, you know what I'm saying, lead black people into the right direction. And I thank you for that, because a lot of people will be like, man, it's still going on. It's racism. Yeah. And I try to tell them, like, watch his show. Listen to this brother. He's telling the truth.
Take no thought about tomorrow. Yesterday doesn't exist. And you got to see, man, God is with us and all is well.